Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Heartland Politics on KBUR AM-FM, Burlington, Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and Happy New Year, Happy 2020 to everybody. Today, we're going to take a look at the Democratic presidential nomination contest as we get closer and closer to the Iowa caucuses. We're about a month away, and today's guest, I'm very pleased to have on, honored to have on. He's former U.S. Senator and former Vice President Joe Biden.
Vice President Biden, thank you for being on our show. My first question is about the economy. We've had over 100 straight months of job growth, and unemployment's at a record low, and incomes are rising. Why, it seems pretty good. Why would we want to change direction?
Well, the reason we want to change direction is not a lot of people. In fact, middle class is getting killed. Biofuel producer are about the economic trajectory under Trump. They feel it negatively, at least in the 20 or more rural counties I've been in. And most Americans, you know, if you look out there, the farmers in the Midwest, the recent study showed 40% couldn't pay their bills last year. And most Americans, the so-called middle class, people who are in the middle there, if they got a bill for $400, they couldn't pay it, an unexpected bill for a month. They'd have to borrow the money or they'd have to sell something. And so, you know, just look, thanks to Trump's big oil waivers, 5 Iowa biofuel plants have already closed down. And they're idle or slashed production since August. And now you see what he's done. He promised that what was happening after August, that he'd come along and the EPA would now make up for that loss of, I forget exactly how much, something like 2.6 billion gallons of ethanol. And look what's recently happened. He says, well, he wants that to happen, but his EPA director is not doing that. Well, he doesn't have any problem doing things that are illegal, like trying to tell the military what they should do or tell the Justice Department, but he has a problem. He has a problem with his EPA director. I mean, this is just phony. And look, the other thing is, this guy has no strategy here. I mean, because of his ill-advised trade war, if I go on too long, it makes me angry. 160 John Deere employees in the Quad Cities have been laid off. And okay, let's look at how is he going to take this? No strategy. And if you take a look at employment expected to slow in the coming months in Iowa, that's the broad-based signs of Iowa's economy continuing. You know, I think I've got it right. You know, your department's revenue. And look, in Iowa and across the country, wages are largely stagnant. Cost of living is shot up. Meanwhile, they're getting harder and harder for workers and families to get by. He's cutting their insurance. He's cutting access to education. He's cutting the number of the idea that we're going to be able to pay back their student loans. Across the board, you know, he hasn't invested in education, health care. Any real action is going to – I come from one of those middle-class families. So my dad – when we were growing up, Mr. Biden, you can get a $5,000 a year raise, and we're going to make sure your kid can go to college and can pay for education. Guess what? You're going to have health care. I know which one my dad picked in a heartbeat, and I think most Americans would now. Middle class is still getting killed.
Mr. Vice President, as you know, in our region, Southeast Iowa, Burlington, Fort Madison, Keokuk, used to be areas heavily dependent on manufacturing jobs, which a lot of them have lost. That's similar to your roots in Pennsylvania. How big is manufacturing to the economy in your economic vision, and what can we do to strengthen manufacturing?
Well, relative to how we're dealing with trade deficit, intellectual property, things that matter the most to us, the thing that made American manufacturing actually work. And, you know, in addition to that, you take a look at what we're doing with regard to who we're helping deal with the opportunity for progress. You know, it all gets down to, in our administration, I personally was asked to spend a lot of time dealing with the jobs of the future. There are 100,000 jobs out there in high-tech manufacturing we weren't training people for. The idea that people who have been displaced in certain jobs, for the same person who used to work on the floor of an automobile plant or making a refrigerator, if they can't learn to run a foldable machine on the floor of a factory, getting jobs making solar panels and the like for 45,000 to 65,000 is bizarre. But we're not investing. We're not investing in the right things. And look, if you take a look at it, I don't think Trump gets it at all. He simply doesn't get it. You know, and you take a look at what the exports to China, just in agriculture, are down $7.7 billion in this trade war. And you saw what's happened in the Quad City area with, you know, Deere and Company. And look, American manufacturers in the midst of a full-blown recession. Look what he's done to the automobile industry. Look how that has begun to collapse. And in my administration, we're going to protect American business from theft of intellectual property, forcing technology transfers as China's doing. And as president, you know, we're going to work with our allies, not against them. I mean, the idea, it's one thing to have a trade war with China, even if it makes sense. At the same time, attacking our allies, we make up 25% of the world's economy. If we should be partnering with another 25% of our allies and friends in the democracies to make sure China has to play by the rules. So we're doing it all wrong, in my view, and we're not, I also think, it's not exactly what you asked, but I think we should be, in fact, having a ability to lend more to small businesses. Small, and there's a lot of small manufacturing businesses. Case in point, you know, they've now found the technology to be able to, you know, all the wind and solar that's being, particularly wind, being produced out here in Iowa. Well, there's new technology that has been found to be able to have battery storage in a home that is powered by wind power that you can store anywhere from 24 hours to 1 week, for an entire week, the energy when the wind's not blowing. I mean, we should be investing in those kinds of businesses, but we're not. He doesn't have any idea what he should be doing, in my view.
What did you?
I'm sorry to speak so loudly. I hope I'm not speaking too loudly. No. I'm speaking because you're on this bus.
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
You talked about trade a little bit, and that was going to be one of my questions about trade. I think you already answered that. But what's your view on the newly negotiated and passed USMCA deal that replaces NAFTA? A lot of folks out here blame NAFTA for a lot of job loss. Would you have supported
that? By the way, I think they have a right to blame it, because remember, when NAFTA was originally passed, and it was passed under Clinton, and I did vote for it, there were supposedly enforcement mechanisms to enforce labor standards and environmental standards. When President Bush got in office, he did not enforce them at all. He didn't think that made any sense to do that. So finally, and I've been calling since 2012, don't hold me the exact year, but for a long time, that we should be renegotiating NAFTA, and that's exactly what's happened. But the negotiation initiated by Trump didn't solve the problem. What it did was it made it look better. It did not have any enforcement mechanism to guarantee we could, as in the past was promised, hold Mexicans accountable to paying fair and decent wages, allowing Mexican workers to unionize so that their wages were more competitive so they couldn't undersell us, in a sense, and insist that there be environmental standards. And I remember the first time around, I was arguing, I thought the enforcement mechanism exists, which it does now, that if you're manufacturing an automobile and you have a paint plant where you paint the automobile, like they did up in my home state of Delaware, used to be a big auto manufacturer, and Chrysler plant, they had to pay millions of dollars to put on their scrubbers on top of their factory that, in fact, kept the pollutants from going out into the air. It cost a lot of money. Well, guess what? The Mexicans didn't do it. So, of course, they can make the car cheaper or whatever the manufacturing effort. This now has those safeguards. And in addition to that, Trump tried to give away, in fact, in this new deal, a giant giveaway to drug companies to allow to continue to maintain their patents well beyond what made any sense to do. So the labor unions as well as Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats went in and changed these things. Now, AFL-CIO thinks it's much better, will work a lot better, will be able to be enforced, and increase economic growth for them. In Congress, I would probably vote for it.
Final question. We're on an abbreviated schedule, and I really appreciate you taking the time today. No, that's okay. That's not you. I've been asking all the candidates for president this when I interview them. As you know, Mr. Vice President, Iowa had the most Obama-Trump counties in the nation. And down in our area, they're all along the Mississippi River, where these counties voted for Obama twice and Trump once. They were looking for something different. A lot of people feel it's critical to get those voters back. I want to allow you to take the last couple minutes and address those folks directly on why they should vote for you this election.
Well, number one, let me just say that in all of those areas where, in fact, you lost voters from Obama, Biden to Trump, in fact, we basically stopped talking to them in the campaign. Well, my used to have the expression, he said, Joey, how is showing up? Showing up. My voters have always been good in manufacturing states and blue-collar states and counties has been, that's where I come from. That's what it's all about. Showing up means that you just, my argument is, look what Trump has done to the things that actually affect your ability to live a middle-class life. Number one, you have to be able to afford health care for your family. And he's been eviscerating it. He's just been trying to eliminate Obamacare completely, replace it with nothing. In addition to that, you have to be able to educate your kids. Well, look what he's done. My dad used to have an expression when someone would come up to him and say, his name was Joe, let me tell you what I value. He'd say, don't tell me what you value, show me your budget. Look what your state Republicans have done in terms of cutting the education budget. Look what's happened nationally, what we've done in education. Look what's happening when we, in fact, do not provide opportunities for people to go on to school, on to community college. We should be able to make it free. It's $6 billion. Yeah, we almost give almost much away for racehorses, in America. But look, the idea here is we have to start to talk to the things that make up the ability to live a middle-class life. And my dad used to say that it's all about dignity. How the hell can a parent maintain their dignity when they got a child that has a pre-existing condition and you weren't able to buy insurance for them? How can you maintain your dignity when you have a child or some loved one who is a terminal illness and an insurance company can come in and say, hey, by the way, you're going to run out of your coverage, die in pain, but not with us. How can you have dignity? Look at a kid who has opportunities, and either the elementary schools they're with are so poorly run because they don't have teachers that are getting paid high enough. You don't have access to preschool and the like. I mean, there's so many things that affect a middle-class life, and it basically gets down to a value set. The thing I know about Southeast Iowa, the thing I know about those folks along the Mississippi, I mean it sincerely. They're like back home in my state. They're people with centered values. They understand what it is that makes a nation, makes a community. And they don't think about it in terms of national and foreign policy. They think about it in terms of decency and honor and respect and treating people with respect. And last thing I'll say, our children are listening. They're listening to the god-awful things this president says. And all those Republicans who may have stepped over and gone to him, I just don't see them not understanding what's happened. But I think we got to campaign and say, look, we're here. We understand the pain. We know it's real. And we're here to do something about it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Vice President, former Vice President Joe Biden, former Senator Joe Biden, for taking the time to be with us today. And good luck as you move towards the February 3rd Iowa caucus date.
I'll be here a lot. I hope I get to see you personally. Thank you very much.
Thank you.